Mentality Pro. This is Kep Pierce, your host with ABS Commercial, and we're asking technical and cultural questions that impact the world of fermentation.
Welcome to Fermentality Pro Series, sponsored by ABS Commercial. Today, our guest is Aaron Gore, the Director of Partnerships and Community with Arrived. Our sister company, Raleigh Brewing, has actually been a client with Arrived since 2019, and they are one of ABS Commercial's preferred partners and collaborators. So, Aaron, welcome, and why don't you tell us a little bit about Arrived and your position within the company?
Yeah, and thanks for having me on the show, Kat. It's always a pleasure seeing you in any context. Always a pleasure being able to talk to the folks with ABS.
But no.
I know. But no, Arrived, we are a software company, design software for the brewing industry, and really we can handle effectively everything from the tank to the tap room with our suite of services. So we originally founded actually as a point-of-sale company, really running the taproom side of things. First version of our software was actually programmed in the Avery Brewing Tap Room up in Boulder, Colorado. And since then, we've grown to not only become the preferred point of sale for the brewing industry, and that's an industry that we're deeply dedicated to, entirely dedicated to, but also we've introduced other products. So we have web services now. We can do website design. We can facilitate e-commerce. But our most recent one was we actually acquired a company called Simple Circle out of California that does ERP and operations software. So we can do everything from batch planning all the way through inventory management, going forward all the way through running your sales, your CRM, invoicing, route planning, and that talks directly to our point of sale as well. So we've effectively built the software ecosystem for the craft beverage industry, and it just continues our mission of being able to become even more tightly integrated into this community, which is really what beverage is all about.
For sure. I mean, beer can be a solution for many problems. So, Aaron, you have been in the beer industry for a little over 10 years. How did you get started, and what was it specifically about the beer industry that reeled you in?
Yeah, so I feel like at this point I've told this story a few times, but
we'll tell it one more time.
Oh, I'm definitely going to. No, I actually got started in IT, working for TJX companies. They own TJ Maxx, Marshall's, Home Goods, and I got laid off from that job and realized I just absolutely hated being in that kind of corporate environment, just sitting behind a cubicle all day, working on a product that I just wasn't passionate about. So I was talking to my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, and she said, well, what do you enjoy doing? The most obvious question on earth. And I said, well, I don't know. I like beer. And she said, well, do that. My mind just absolutely blown. I'd absolutely never considered it before. So
kaboom.
Yeah, I got my first job in sales for a brewery. Got that on Craigslist of all places, which is dating myself a bit. And I've been doing it ever since. So from there, I moved on to managing larger and larger territories, moved down south, was running multi-state, took over running the operations sales side for breweries, and then went out into consulting, which I did full-time for about 6 years. I consulted with, I think, around 70 breweries on three continents. Originally intending to do a sales and marketing specialization, but before I knew it, I'd kind of branched off entirely into just business operations. And that's been kind of my great passion ever since, is working with breweries to let them run more effective businesses, not just very expensive hobbies. That way they can get back to focusing on what got them in this to start with, which is beer and people.
For sure. So did you have sales experience prior to working in the beer industry?
I did have a little. So I had a little selling life insurance and then selling office supplies. But really where I realized I was pretty good at selling things was actually I was a professional wrestler for years as well.
Oh my God, really?
Dead serious. That was my dream all through middle and high school. And I was fortunate enough to be able to do that. So I started, I went to the WWA for professional wrestling school in Atlanta, Georgia. I learned there under Mr. Hughes, former WWE star, and then did that for years. And in-ring work, I was always only okay at, being nearsighted with asthma, not exactly tailor-made for that.
Nerd.
But I realized really quick I could run my mouth, and, I was actually, it surprises a lot of people who know me in real life now that I was the quiet, reserved goth kid in the back of the class all through high school. But when you're pretending to get your ass kicked in your underwear in a VFW in front of like 50 people, it's pretty hard to stay reserved.
I mean, for sure. It's for me, like one of my background is definitely like in education, but I also got a minor in theater. And so, when I went into sales in the beer industry to start out with before I got into the position that I'm in now, that theater definitely assisted with, just being able to be more out there, more outgoing, really great with networking. because in the end, it's kind of like code switching, 100%. Except it's just a different character, but still kind of like ingrained in yourself.
Well, and the real skill there in both of those is storytelling. And that's really what, not just sales in this industry, but any sort of sales, any sort of real relationship building. It's about being able to engage with people and make them care about what you're offering, not just because it's good for them and you hope that what you're selling is, but also be able to connect them on a deeper level. And so much of that is really just building that narrative and building that story together and being able to connect people with that in a way that resonates, in a way that makes them care among all the many, many things that they have to worry about in their life.
Absolutely. So obviously you have been heavily involved in sales throughout your career in beer. How has your experience in sales and even in consulting assisted you in growing Arrive's referral partner program?
Yeah, no, 100%. So anybody who's been in the beverage industry, I'm presuming pretty much everybody who's listening to this is either in it or is about to be in it. You know, the craft beverage industry really is as much a subculture as it is an industry in and of itself. And that means that more than almost any other industry you're likely to run into, relationships are everything. Because people who get into this, they get into this not because it's the thing that they're going to make the most money at. I mean, Lord knows.
For sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Nobody gets into craft beer because they're looking to make as much money as they possibly could. They could do a million other things and make more. They get into this because they're deeply passionate about it. And that means that what they really are looking for is someone who cares as much about their business as they care about it, because you're really trading on trust and you're trading on being able to connect with those people and show them that you're not just trying to take them for what they're worth. You're trying to provide a genuine service, because this industry is hard and this industry is made up of people who you don't intend to just sell one thing to and never see them again.
Absolutely.
It's ongoing. You want to build
a continual relationship for sure. Yeah. I mean, even for me, it's the relationships that I have made throughout my career that have brought me to where I am today. I mean, if it weren't for me getting that Pink Boots Society scholarship back in, I think that was like 2017 or something like that, to attend the North Carolina Craft Brewers Conference, right? If it weren't for that, I wouldn't know the amount of people that I know in the North Carolina craft beer industry, including you. I'm pretty sure I met you that year.
Yeah, that was NCCBC, where anybody who goes that, you'll now definitely see me and Kat. And at some point we will both grab anybody new and pull them aside.
Always.
And bring you into whatever conversation we're having. But you're 100% right. It is that community that really makes this work. And I don't know anybody who's been doing this even half as long as I've been doing this that, you know, the beer in the glass is the main reason you still do this.
Oh, for sure.
It has to be about more than that. It has to be about the people. And I also think it's telling that many of our shortfalls, our shortcomings as an industry, are community-related shortcomings, because it is what keeps us all here, and it is really what we pride ourselves on, which is also why it is so important that we keep that community mindset and continue to bring more people into it.
So speaking of that, your referral partner program that Arrive does and that you manage, can you touch on the importance of specifically collaboration in today's ever-changing industry, and what specifically can folks do to be better at collaborating?
Yeah, 100%. So most people who are in this industry, they get most of their information from the guy down the street, the girl down the street. You know, they're really learning about what opportunities are out there, what solutions are out there from people who they trust. So for someone like us who has a service that we're trying to provide to the industry, I don't ask anybody to take it on trusting us. I'm asking them just to go ahead and trust the people that they already know. So those referrals, whether it's from another brewery or whether it's from a equipment supplier like ABS, whether it's from an accountant like Maria Perriman, those things are so important, not because it increases the size of our business or we're able to refer people back to them, but quite the opposite. Because we're willing to take the goodwill and the trust that we've earned with our customers, and they're willing to do the same and say, here's somebody else who we've discovered that is also doing good work and who I think would be able to solve some of the other problems that you may be having.
For sure. And I mean, that's part of the reason we, you know, collaborate with Arrive. You know, first and foremost, it's, you know, obviously good for us as a business to, you know, once one of your clients essentially comes up and says, hey, I'm in love with your product. You guys are awesome. Do you know of anybody else that we can potentially contact for this particular service? And in a way that's not only like boosting your sales, but it's also boosting ours, because they trust you and as a result would trust us, and vice versa. We would do the same thing for you. In as far as collaborators, just like with breweries are concerned, what would you suggest to breweries as a way to be more collaborative?
Yeah, collaboration is incredibly valuable as a marketing tool. But one of the things I try to drive home to breweries I've consulted with, or even that I talked to today, just around the industry, is make sure that both parties are getting something out of that collaboration. You know, the way that, you know, tax law and inventory regulations happen in alcohol, it's rarely feasible for both parties to get paid on any sort of collaboration. That's one of the reasons why, you know, do one at yours and do one at mine is so popular. But what you're really doing with those collaborations is extending your reach.
Right.
And for your own brand as well, you're bringing somebody in and saying, hey, by associating with this brand, we're telling you that this is somebody you should be checking out. And you guys should be trusting us more because you also know about their quality and you know about what they do. So really make sure that when you're collaborating with another brewery, it's something that gets you in front of customers that otherwise you're not going to be able to. And in your own brew house, make sure that it's something that's adding value to your own customers. You know, it's really bringing in some of that creativity, bringing in some of that energy from that other brand that they might not be able to get without going either to that brewery or to a grocery store or a bottle shop and picking up their product. Now they can get it right inside your four walls. And that's an area where now both parties are better off than they would be not working together. That's, you know, not even coopetition. That's true collaboration where everybody winds up coming out better than the sum of its parts. This isn't a zero-sum industry. It doesn't need to be. There's still an enormous amount of room for everybody to eat. We just have to get a little more creative than we had to in the past and be a little smarter about it than we've had to in the past.
For sure. I mean, regardless, throughout this industry, we've noticed some pretty substantial challenges. Speaking of those substantial challenges, what are some challenges?
Everything in this industry. It's responsible
for,
you know, 65% plus of all brewery closures, lease issues being the second biggest. So cash flow. A lot of people who haven't been in this industry very long or aren't very sophisticated, at least on the business side of the industry, don't realize we're kind of inverted on our cash cycle to start with. You know, we have 30 to 45 day terms with most of our raw material suppliers, and then it's 25 plus days getting an average product to market. And that's not even counting the time that'll be sitting at the wholesaler warehouse. Your wholesaler probably has net 30 to pay you back. And before you know it, in order to even reach break even, you're probably looking at 60 plus days of inventory turnover. That cash cycle doesn't work without a significant cash flow. So you have to mind your cash. It's also one of the reasons why you really have to keep a couple things in mind. First is seasonality. This is a highly seasonal business. We absolutely die in the wintertime. And that's a problem when you're having to stock up for two of your biggest months, March and April, right after the lowest point in your entire year.
For sure.
And the other flip side is making sure that I had a point and I completely forgot what it was. But oh, margins. Yeah, costs. That's another one I've absolutely sink breweries.
Cogs
is important. Know how to properly account for them and know how to actually track them throughout the entire process. Make sure that you're actually selling your product from the back house to the front of house. You need to be able to compare apples to apples and not apples to oranges and subsidize one part of your business with the other. You need to be able to figure out what your actual unit margins are and have a true understanding of the impact your overhead is having on it. Those are all the things that you really need to understand if you're going to have a good viewpoint and a really good window into what's actually happening with your business. The anecdote I've told a few times is I worked with a brewery that was doing nearly $5 million in distributed revenue. So absolutely crushing out in the market. When we crashed their books, they couldn't figure out why they were constantly out of money. And we realized that they were actually losing $1.74 in every case that they sent out of their number one selling product. They were winning themselves to death. Every case that went out, they were getting closer and closer to the bone. And it was all because they didn't have a really good handle on what their COGS were. Now, for them, there was a lot of reasons, some within their control, plenty without, that were responsible for that. But I've seen that same problem crop up on a much smaller scale time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
So understand your costs, understand your cash flow and what it really takes for you to stay afloat and have good working capital. And outside of that, just be really cognizant because cash is king, cash is everything in this industry. And we're already starting on our back foot when it comes to that respect of the business.
So does Arrived specifically have something that can help with tracking that type of cash flow analysis?
Yeah. So anybody who's using our brewery management software and other brewery management software has similar features. You're able to track everything from your raw material costs. So you have an 11-pound bag of hops come in. Not only does that item exist in your system, it's got the COGS in there. And as you're drawing off a quantity, you know, just a, you know, a ounces here or a pound here, that's going to be captured in the COGS of your finished goods as well. One of the areas where we differ is that all of those COGS also move forward through the system, so that when it reaches all the way forward to your tap room, you're able to not have to do manual reconciliations or have to, you know, basically re-enter everything twice or hope that you're capturing everything with one source of truth, because it is one source of truth all the way through the system. But whatever system you're using, just make sure that you're keeping an eye on that all the way back from the raw materials that go into the product through the finished goods and then to every business unit that those go out to, whether it's the wholesale, self-distro, or to the tap room, because you really do need to capture each of those to really understand how each of those is performing.
For sure. I mean, you know, just having a system like that, though, it would be incredibly helpful. And I'm sure, like you said, there are multiple others out there in the market, but to be able to have a software that can integrate just like everything from, you know, tank to tap room.
Yeah, anything we can do to make people's lives easier. Like, again, just getting them back to the beer and the people. Like, I'm a firm believer, like, that was one of the amazing things about the microwave back in the day, or the automated vacuum back in the day, or, you know, a motorized lawnmower. These were all things that made jobs quicker and easier, and it wasn't that they even necessarily did the job they were replacing better. They just let people get back to the things they actually cared about. And that's really what quality of life is about, and that's what we're trying to do, is not just provide the most powerful tool, and I think we've got it, but more important than that, provide a tool that keeps things simple enough, usable enough, and effective enough that people can get back to focusing on the areas where they really feel like they can make a difference in their business.
Absolutely. Being able to focus on the reason you started, right? The reason that you're in there, the reason that you go back to that passion. I mean, that's what it's all about. And if you're sitting there focusing on, you know, obviously books are important. Like, we need to focus on books. We need to focus on COGS. We need to be able to focus on cost analysis. But, you know, in the end, if you find something that just takes away a little bit of that time, so that way you can focus on things like, okay, what is it that is going to bring more folks into the tap room, maybe a more set of diverse folks into the tap room that, you know, are potentially untapped markets, or, you know, what kind of music do I want to have at my brewery? You know,
I mean, these things help. And honestly, that's 100% what we believe. You know, we want to get people back to working on their business, not just in their business, because when you are just so deep in it, just trying to keep your head above water, you know, the one thing that doesn't scale is people. And I don't even just mean the fact that labor is a huge cost center. Like, you as a founder, an owner, a manager, you only have so many hours to give. And if you're spending them on stuff that could be very easily either automated or simplified and digitized, and you're spending them just organizing a crap ton of spreadsheets that don't talk to each other and doing manual recounts on all of your inventory and hoping to God everything matches, that's a nightmare. And not only is it frustrating to deal with, but it's also taking you away from areas that only you can impact, which require that creativity, require that founder's mindset, that outlook, that vision that really takes that human element into account.
Oh, tell me about it. I, you know that firsthand as the GM for small parts, of which we carry thousands of different parts and have to keep accurate inventory and COGS of every single one.
I do not envy your position.
Hey, pick locations, by the way, are the best. And so if Arrived has doesn't have the ability to be able to track pick locations, you need to do it, because it is a lifesaver.
We'll institute our small parts management system next year, I'm sure.
Yes, please do. So now for a more personalized question. This one is a very common topic in the industry. Just, you know, mental health as a whole is a big topic in this industry, but more specifically burnout. Service industry professionals experience it, and the beer industry is no exception. In your experience and in your opinion, what can industry professionals do to prevent burnout?
Yeah, it's a tough question, because when you take your hobby and turn it into a career, it's so easy to take this thing you're passionate about and take it from being something that you focus on just for 8 hours a day while you're doing it to really throwing your everything into, because everything that touches it also can become part of that interest. It's even harder when you're an owner, because now it's your livelihood on the line, your staff's livelihood's on the line. So it's very easy to just get that tunnel vision and never come up for air. So I try to recommend to people in general, and I'm the worst at taking this advice, but get hobbies outside of beverage.
Oh my God, that was literally what I was thinking. That's why I started stained glass. because I needed something outside of making and drinking beer.
Oh, yeah. It's so important to just have those other places to put your energy.
I run a homebrew shop, right? So, and even in the only time that I homebrew nowadays is like with my dad, with my friends that want to learn how to make beer, or in the homebrew shop. I have all of this badass equipment at home that practically just goes untouched because I realized that it wasn't healthy for me to be focusing beer all the time.
Absolutely. And
I mean, which is why I introduced some mead, you know, too. But
oh yeah,
still,
that's really mixing it up.
But it's still but it's still alcohol. And I mean, you know, what are you doing when you're brewing beer at home, homebrewing? You're drinking. You know, what are you doing when you're sitting out here having a podcast with one of your industry buddies, drinking a beer? What are you doing when you are out there selling beer, drinking a beer? You know, it gets to be almost, it gets to be scary sometimes.
It's a very slippery slope. And it's also one of the reasons why, especially people who work outside of the brew house, especially salespeople, are so hard to hire. I mean, this is an industry where you have almost infinite access to beer, which, by the way, anybody who's not in the industry, it does become less glamorous over time.
It
I
really
promise
does.
You. The novelty wears off pretty quick. When I first got in this industry, my girlfriend, now wife, asked me, you know, well, what's your goal? What do you want to accomplish? And I said, well, I never want to pay for beer again. That took like 2 freaking weeks.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I guess I got to have real goals now. But, you know, get hobbies outside of this industry. A big believer in therapy. I think it's a wonderful thing that we should completely remove the stigma of. I am a therapy success case. Go talk to somebody. It doesn't have to be scary. It's a wonderful tool. But even outside of that, just remember your why. You know, the longer you do anything, it can become that much harder to remember the why that got you into it to begin with. And the why isn't beer. If you're doing this just because you really, really like beer, you are already going into it for the wrong reasons. If you like it and you want to do this and you want to be a part of this world because of what beer does, because of the fact that, you know, lowers inhibitions or greases the wheels in social settings or brings people together or creates ritual and connectivity. That's the why.
I mean, shit, for me, it's just 100% community and the people.
100%.
Like you know what we were saying, which is part of the reason why we are in the positions that we're in within our industry, right? You know, for some people, you know, that are brewers, people may definitely not be the reason that they're in it.
Wait, some brewers are introverted? Yeah. This is an absolute surprise.
But no, I 100% agree with you in terms of, you know, it being important to remind ourselves, like, why we're in this industry to begin with. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago, I was going through a crisis of realizing that, you know, I didn't want to do sales anymore. You know, I had gotten burnt out on sales. I realized, you know, I loved it primarily for the relationships and the community and the ability to go talk shop with people about beer. But when it came down to it, you know, it came down to the bottom line. Like, are you actually selling the beer? And I don't want to say that I wasn't good at selling beer, you know, but it definitely wasn't like my favorite thing anymore because it felt like, you know, I have this amazing, wonderful beer in front of me. And then someone says no. And I'm like, why? You know? And it got to the point where that was affecting me. And I was like, you know, I really just want to be in this industry, but I don't know what I want to do because I had set myself up to be like, I want to go do sales. I want to go do sales. Even the entirety of the time that I was working at Jordan Lake Brewing, which is where I like first start out like full time. You know, I was the wearer of multiple hats, loved that job. I was also partially like a manager. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I realized, okay, I think I want to do management. And if it weren't for Christy Neidstedt, you know, essentially seeing me at the Pink Boots conference and asking me, hey, Kat, how do you like your new job? And I'm like, I really hate it, Christy. I need to get out. You know, and 2 weeks later, she calls me and she offers me up a position with the homebrew job. The last thing I wanted to do was work with homebrewers, right? But the benefits were right. The pay was right. It was something new. So I took a risk. And now I ended up freaking loving it.
Well, and also having, you know, another woman in a position of management in the homebrew community is so important for the future of that.
Oh, and even in the commercial industry, you know, so like, obviously we have Raleigh Brewing Company, ABS Commercial, and Atlantic Brew Supply, the homebrew shop. But, you know, seeing a woman that is, well, she's just a boss. Let's put it that way. Like, She is incredible. She sits here and she empowers people mm-hmm. and puts people where they need to be. She listens to the folks and what their aspirations are, and she figures out the right place to put you. If you are not in the right spot when she hires you, she's going to find the right spot for you. You know?
Well, and I think that's one of the important things, too, is, you know, just expanding what this industry can be. We really do have to do a better job of not just having the people we can point to, the Christies, the Carol Stouts, the Kim Jordans, but also really bridging that gap, you know, really replacing that missing rung to help more women enter this industry. Because anybody who's ever hired in this industry, I mean, they'll tell you there is a very real pipeline problem.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, just because it's often used as an excuse, and boy, is it often used as an excuse, y'all, that doesn't mean that it also doesn't exist. So it's one of the reasons why being able to create those opportunities and go out and make a conscious effort to bring more women into beer, whether as drinkers.
And to retain the women, too.
And create environments that don't make it absolutely miserable for them to work in this industry is so important. It's also one of the reasons why I was very fortunate to be working with the amazing Michelle Wonder and Enid Lentz on creating the Evergreen Brewing Initiative to help provide resources and support for women in the homebrewing segment, to help bring more women into the amateur side of things, because that's also one of the biggest areas where we draw talent from as an industry.
Oh,
that's
for sure.
Where
it's
this
a
industry
gateway.
Is built.
The industry is built off of homebrewing.
And with homebrewing,
as much as people like
right
to,
now.
Yeah, as much as people like to ignore the fact that this industry was built off of homebrewing, it 100% was. From bucket to brew house. That is like 100%. Literally the homebrew shop's motto.
It's an interesting thing that we do. It's an interesting hobby because it's not the kind of hobby like cooking where you can be raised learning to cook from your parents or grandparents. You know, this is beer. Like, most of us don't discover it until we're, let's just say 21 for legal purposes, but most of us don't discover it until we're already well into our lives and figuring out what our interests are. So having things that people are able to access and really feel supported in and feel empowered by on that amateur level is so critical to even building a consumer base, much less that just raw pool of talent that we need to draw on as a professional industry.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, going back to the whole burnout topic, you know, for me, looking back at this industry and being able to see ways that I can implement change and more specifically implement change, even just like on the foundational level, like, you know, right here in my backyard, right here at ABS, right here with my Pink Boots Society chapter, you know, I think that is the part for me that like brings everything together and reminds me why I'm here and why it's so important for us to remind ourselves of that. For me, it's empowering other people, doing the best that I can to empower other people, being able to provide the same education that I have received by some other folks in this industry that have been absolutely incredible with pointing me into the right direction. Krista Donofrio with Beer Tooth Taproom. I mean, she's part of the, she provided me with a lot of resources and advice on getting my certified Cicerone. Taylor Harrington, who used to work in the homebrew shop and is now a full-time artist, but for breweries and other craft beer related businesses, she gave me all of her Cicerone texts. And in addition to like Brewmaster's Table and all of that, she let me borrow it. Then there was Michelle Minuti, who is one of the owners of Bombshell Beer Co. She was there to help specifically financially provide, you know, my, at least the cost of the test once I passed. John Shemekiewicz, the owner of Beer Law Center, he was the one that helped me pay for all of the beer that we were drinking and studying together. Whit Baker with Bond Brothers, like he was the one that did all of my off-flavor classes. I mean, I want to be that same person to be able to pass on that education and that empowerment onto other people that are new in this industry. So like earlier when you said, hey, if you're new in the industry and we see you at the NC Craft Brewers Conference, we're going to pull you in and you're going to be stuck with us forever and ever and ever and ever. And ever.
You'll hate it at first, but I promise by the end of it, we don't bite much.
Yeah. But that for me is like the passion that I carry.